Thanks a lot.
Jeg er norsk. That means I am Norwegian. It's like following the elephant act in the circus, you know, trying to follow Paul. But when I arrived in Holden, I was very disturbed to find that I was to dedicate the museum. And I thought that Dr. Rudy Edmonds is certainly the one that should dedicate the museum. And since it isn't finished yet in a way, and he isn't here, we're going to postpone that. But I really jumped at the chance to dedicate what you call the projector, which is in this box. And the reason that I accepted this was that I thought this would be a unique moment in Holden history, that one, a relative of the inventor of a facility to be dedicated, would give the dedicatory address. And this is how it looked to me, and this is one of the reasons why I accepted it, because it's easy to talk about your relatives. It's easy to dig up a lot of dirt about your relatives. Well, I thought that this would be a unique occasion until just a few minutes ago, when I found out that 2 years ago, when Howard Hong dedicated the septic tank and tile field in a very moving dedicatory address, was in fact giving an address as a distant cousin of the inventor of septic tanks. His name was Septic Jezima Hong. But I maintain that my relationship to the inventor is closer. He is a distant uncle of mine. His name is Uncle Eric. I'll give you the rest of his name later. Now, Uncle Eric was quite a unique fellow, and he lived in northern Norway, where they have the midnight sun. And then all winter, it's cold and dark. A lot of people didn't call him Eric. They called him D.A. for Dårlig Auge, which means poor eyes. He had weak eyes. I guess you'd call him, as the funny papers do, weak eyes. But old D.A., and because of these weak eyes, he really didn't... Well, he was a handyman. He was very clever, but he couldn't get very many jobs. One of the things he did do, I mean, among his... sort of a handyman around town, but he didn't make very much money, so he couldn't afford glasses or spectacles. But he did become involved in an offshoot from the Haugiites. That was a sort of an offshoot from the Lutheran Church in Norway. And the particular group that he was involved in were called Holdenuts. Now, in Norwegian, that means sort of holdouts. And they were holdouts from the Haugi sect, who were very strict. They were pietists. And he was holding out from them, and he and his group, because they thought there should be more joy and freedom. And so he was one of the leaders in his group and held out for more joy. Because a lot of people thought they were sort of way out and a bunch of nuts. Because how the world can you be happy in a place where you spend all winter in the cold and the dark eating salt herring? But that's the way it went. And that's sort of the story of Eric. Now, his first breakthrough really came when he married Lena Haugen. Now, the reason he got Lena Haugen is that nobody else wanted her. She was not very good looking. But he didn't know that because he had weak eyes. But she finally cornered him and married him. And then after he was married, she then purchased some glasses for him. And it was after that that he always took Lena with him wherever he went. Whenever the Holdenuts had a... and there's some people, I might say, that think of Uncle Eric as maybe one of the founders of a group such as Holden Village here. They've sort of modified the name a bit. But whenever the Holdenutes had sort of a sit-in or an outing or a circuit convention, he would always bring Lena with him. Even to the Men's Brotherhood conventions, he'd bring Lena. And one time it got too much for the brothers, and they finally cornered old D.A. and said, how come you always bring Lena with you wherever you go? And he says, well, you've seen her, and it's a lot easier to take her on all these trips than to kiss her goodbye. Now, that was Lena. Now, but also Lena was helpful to him, for she arranged so he was able to get a pair of glasses. And these glasses that he bought, of course, they looked like bottoms of Coke bottles. They were very thick, and whenever you looked at old Uncle Eric, his eyeballs looked just like the Whistlers from Zion Lutheran Church. But it did afford him then the opportunity to get gainful employment. And he lived in or near Spitsbergen, which is up in northern Norway, and the government decided to build a large facility there. And in telling about this some years later, he says, you know, it took me three years to learn how to say job, and then they changed it to government project. Now, he discovered many things after he got glasses, but one day he was walking in a local supermarket, and he came on to some primost, some jetost, from down in Gudbrandsdal, where I came from, and where also Peer Gynt came from. He ran into this ski queen jetost. Now, the reason that it caught his eye is that there's a pretty girl on the cover, sort of on the lid of this stuff. And he had an eye out for a pretty girl because he really didn't see much beauty around the house. And at that time, the makers of Ski Queen Jetost, Norske Salg Central, were having they were really pushing Jetost or Primost, which my children eat like candy and which also Uncle Eric ate like candy. They had this contest, and if you save these covers from Ski Queen cheese, you could get various items. It was really the forerunner of our green stamps or our blue chip stamps. And one of the items that Eric discovered he could obtain was a camera, a 35-millimeter camera. And he thought this would be wonderful. He'd give it to Lena because there was another trait of Lena which was somewhat disturbing to those around her, and that she was going yak-yak all the time. And he thought this was really wonderful because he read somewhere after he got his glasses that a picture is worth a thousand words. And if he could get her a camera, she could be busy all summer taking pictures. And then they could look at them all winter. And this is what he'd done. He finally got a camera, and she took pictures all summer, and then winter came. And because they have plenty of electricity in northern Norway now, in fact, they have more water power in Norway than all of Asia. This is another paid advertisement. And they had plenty of lights so they could keep the lights on. And it was during one of these sessions where they were holding up, you know, these slides up to the light. And Lena happened to sort of look through. She was sort of snuggling up to Eric, and she happened to look through his glasses and realized that when she was looking through these great big magnifying glasses of Eric into the picture with the light on the other side, here she saw a very tremendous picture. And she told old D.A. or Eric about this, and he thought, this is really something. And he sat right down then. They had a lot of broken mirrors around the house because every time Lena looked in one, it'd usually break. So using that, these magnifying lenses of Uncle Eric, and also then some mirrors and the lights, he was able then to develop a little instrument which the people, well, they first called it, some of them wanted to call it an Eric-ter. Well, they couldn't really do that because he had already invented an Eric-ter, you call it, I think, an Eric-ter set for the children, the Holdenutes. So they had to think of another name. Now, the name that has stuck is his middle and last name, His second name happens to be Kobiak. Now, the reason for this is that, and this was usual in Norway, in northern Norway, that when a person, when a mother who was carrying a child would be frightened by something or see something that impressed her, they'd often incorporate that in the name. She had been scared by a Kodiak bear. So it was reasonable then that Erik's second name should be Kodiak. His last name was Projector. And that's the reason now, I think, that I think you've modified the name a bit. But this great instrument that we are dedicating today is named after my distant uncle, Uncle Erik Kodiak Projector. So it is that reason that it is such a great pleasure for me to dedicate this instrument. Now, and it's also, it's a great privilege for me then to put the name of Erik Kodiak Projector in with all the other great Norwegians who have contributed so much to America and to the world. We've already heard about Leif Erikson, who discovered America. You have not yet, you've heard a little bit about Erik the Red. You saw some of his descendants marching in the parade yesterday. I am one of them. Erik the Red fathered much of Europe and northern Italy. If you don't believe it, you can go through there today. And then we've heard about the great literary figures of Norway, such as Henrik Ibsen and Bjørn Bjørnason. And in the field of medicine, you people in medicine, in the field of medicine, recognize Dr. Hansen, the discoverer of the bacillus of Hansen's disease or leprosy. And then there's St. Olaf, who discovered St. Olaf College. And Olaf Viking, who discovered Augustana. And then, of course, I've already mentioned the septic Jessimer Horn, who discovered the septic tank. And to this illustrious group today, I would like to add the name of one of the great citizens of the world and certainly one of the greatest bakers of the world, Wilhelm Andreessen. And in recognition of this, I thought it most fitting on this memorable 4th of July that we also commemorate the freedom of Norway from the Swedes, along with our freedom in this country. And then to do this, we're going to call on Wilhelm, along with Helen and Obert Lundsverk, who will sing Ja, vi elsker dette landet, which is the Norwegian national anthem. And while they're coming up forward, I will tell you that it is a pleasure then for me to dedicate this projector to the glory of God and for the education, enlightenment, and enjoyment of all his people. Is Wilhelm around? You gotta find him. He probably didn't understand my Norwegian, you know. Have you got your guitar? You can stand up and stretch because you're going to have to stand for the singing of this song in a way. Maybe the Swedes won't, but everybody else will. This is a real blow at my Norwegian. I was very clear when I told him the time. Of course, it's 10 minutes from the time I told him, but... This very beautiful song that they will sing really causes the blood to surge in every Norwegian. It was written by Rikard Nordraak, who wrote it before he died at the age of 24. Kom her, Wilhelm. Så nå kan du synge. Thank you.
the anchor is the longest on the sea and friend. Couldn't have been so alone with me the truth in the end. If it could have changed us, oh, what far on wood. Oh, the tug on us something good. Drum a bubble out. Oh, the tug on us something good. Think of them, a boy, 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 a
not only for his baking, but also for his voice. He's one of the very wonderful singers, and this is how he's become acquainted with many Americans. The Stavigs, who come next week, have become acquainted with him through this, through his love of music. He's also known for his love of his fellow men. He was the one who hid Jews in his bakery, his attic, fed them throughout World War II, and the family is known and loved throughout Norway for its identification with God's concern for all men. We're grateful to have him here this summer. Now we turn to Dr. Howard Hong and up to the fireplace and finally to Terry Saturn over by the kitchen. Terry's interest here, of course, being obvious, and we're glad to have one of our young adults be involved in a dedication ceremony here. The truck has the sound system and will go forward up to the Chalet 3 by the fireplace for Dr. Hong.